23rd day of April. Next Lord's Day is our the 30th. We'll have the Lord's Supper. I ask that you prepare yourselves to come to the Lord's table. And we'll have our eating meeting then. And look forward to having good fellowship and spending some time together. This morning we started in Acts 13, making sure to bring out the things that were happening to the apostles, Paul and Barnabas. And in verse 44 there, where it says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God," pointing out that the purpose and the reason why we gather ourselves together is to hear the word of God. Even though in these modern day churches, that's not so much done, because that's not what people want to hear anymore. That's not what the worldly so-called churchgoer, they don't want to hear the word of God anymore. They don't want to hear that you're not supposed to sin. They don't want to hear that you must keep the commandments of God. They don't want to hear that you must not commit fornication, adultery, sodomy. They don't want to hear those things anymore. And so they don't come to hear the preaching of the word. They want to hear a 15-minute sermonette, a couple of jokes, and go home after they've been entertained by choirs and special music and people singing and all such sort of that. And I realize our congregation is very small, and that I'm probably not doing anything to help it as far as trying to get people to come in, other than preaching the gospel and, of course, witnessing to as many as I can during the work week. And, of course, invite folks to come, and I hope you do. But if they don't want to hear the word of God, they're not going to come here as long as I'm your pastor, because that's all I'm going to do is preach the gospel and try to be kind and but be honest and make sure that people understand. So they came together to hear the word of God. Nearly the whole city, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. And in the verse 48, is, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad," meaning that the Apostle Paul and Barnabas would preach the gospel to them the next week. And that, because this was on Saturday that they met in the synagogue there at Antioch at Poseidon. And the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. "And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Now, I don't know what else you need. If that were the only scripture in the Bible that talked about it, I wouldn't need any more. "And as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed." Meaning ordained, and we went to John chapter 6, where Jesus said that all that the Father hath given me, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Those that were given him before the foundation of the world, when he made a covenant with his Father, that he would save his people from their sins, that he would go and take on humanity, humiliate himself and take on human flesh, and be persecuted and killed by the Jews and the Romans, the Gentiles and the Jews, and redeem his people from their sins. Those were the ones that the Father hath given him. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So all that the Father hath given him are those who are ordained unto eternal life. And then in John chapter 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." His sheep are those that know him, and they follow him. And that's where left off at the very last verse of chapter 13, verse 52. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost after the Jews had stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook the dust off of their feet. They were filled with joy and were and with the Holy Ghost, and they left Antioch at Pisidia, and they go on to Iconium, and we'll continue there because this is a very good teaching on the early church and the Apostle Paul's ministry with Barnabas with him, and what happens when the Jews, the believing Jews, this is sort of like you and I were when we were converted. We didn't know everything, and we still don't know everything, and we learn every day. And this is a good portion of the scripture where you learn that you don't know everything every day. And you learn as you grow, and you learn doctrine. That's the reason the apostle told them, drawn or drug around with every wind of doctrine. Learn the doctrines, and this is what they were doing here. And we'll see part of that when they have this council at Jerusalem there in chapter 15. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Gentiles, believed. Now, this is where Paul did most of his preaching to the Jews, was because they met on Saturday, on the Jews' Sabbath, and they met in the synagogues, and that was a good place for Paul and Barnabas to go and be able to preach the gospel. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. In other words, those that believe there at Iconium. I guess that's how you pronounce that. Long time, but therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles, and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully, and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lies round about, and there they preached the gospel. Now, please take notice that Paul and Barnabas are going into places where they're Jews, and they go into the synagogue and they preach, and then there comes a division amongst them because some of them believe, some of them don't, some of the Gentiles believe, most of them don't, and their life is in danger. They have to flee for their life, and they go into the next city and they do the same thing, and they get run off from there. And they go into the next city, and they do the same thing. But here at Lystra, it gets pretty bad. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped up, and he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lift up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with good, with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And then they go back to Antioch. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, where they had just left from. And they came to Lystra here. And this is where they tried to worship them as gods, because they told this man to get up. And he leaped and walked, and he had never walked before in his life. And so when these Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, they persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now, nothing's changed, folks. The person that I was telling you about that was saying what we had to do to get people in church is that we had to compromise and do things that would get people to come in. And I asked the person, well, which part of the scripture do you want me to compromise? What do you want me to do in order to get people to come to church? I guess we could start having shows or things, and I'm not sure, but I said the scriptures have not changed. They'll never change. It is the Word of God. Now, men try to change them, and preachers try to change them, and the new translations of the Bible change them, because this old King James Version here just does not suit their taste anymore. Because they'll change it to where the things that are sound doctrine do not seem to be so sound. And they can make it read in such a way that you can question what is being said instead of it being a sound doctrinal thing from the Word of God. And we still have tribulation to those people that would enter into the kingdom of God. They were confirming the souls of the disciples, I mean those believers that had trusted in the Lord Jesus, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That's one of the things that preachers ought to tell when they are declaring the gospel, that it is a time of tribulation when a person repents and turns from his sin. He is going to go suffer tribulation, and he's going to suffer hatred from the world when he repents and turns to the living God. And as the song says that we just sang, when we turn from our sin and serve the living God, and we start preaching against those things that we used to do, you can get ready for those that you used to know to begin to hate you. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they come commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples at Antioch, in Syria. That's where they went back to. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now these were believing Jews. But they thought that not only did you have to believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was resurrected from the dead, but they also believed that you had to keep the law, that you had to be circumcised. That was a big thing with the Jews. You remember, Paul had Timothy circumcised so that he'd be able to go into the synagogues and to preach, or else they wouldn't let him in. It was a big thing. It was a big ordeal with the Jews. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Can you imagine? What did it say? When Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation. In other words, Paul kicked out the traces. He wasn't having no such thing. Justification, he had already told them over there in the 13th chapter that justification was by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was trusting in Him. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He was already preaching justification before he ever wrote the letter to the Romans about justification. So they didn't have a small dissension. They had a great uproar about it there at Antioch in the church. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Now, as missionaries, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas come to the church at Jerusalem about this question that these Gentile converts could not be saved unless they were circumcised. That's what the uproar at Antioch was about. And that's what Paul and Barnabas has come to Jerusalem for. And the church receives them. The apostles there receive them. James, the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, and the elders at the church at Jerusalem receive them as they ought to. And being brought on their way, let's see, verse 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now these were the same as Paul, or Saul. He was a Pharisee and was still a Pharisee even after his conversion. That didn't change the sect that he was from, of people. But these were some other Pharisees who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but thought that you had to be circumcised to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. In other words, they were doing the same thing that people are doing today. When a preacher tells you that you have to do something in order to be saved, he just added works, the law of Moses, he added works to grace. And therefore, you are yet in your sins if you believe that you had to do something in order to be saved, that you had to do something in order to be saved. All those that were ordained to eternal life believed because God caused them to believe. To believe is the work of God. It is God working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God that causes people to repent and turn from their sins. It's not the repenting and turning from the sins that caused them to be saved. It's the Lord Jesus, it's the Spirit of the living God making them spiritually alive because they were dead in their trespasses and sins, separated, alienated from God. And when the Spirit of God birthed them and made them alive, now they see themselves a sinner and they come to Christ. They come to the cross and they plead for mercy on their souls that the Lord Jesus would save them. And this is what they were doing here. They were adding works to grace. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, we know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's over in Acts chapter 10, you remember. Where the sheets came down, he was up in the upper room up there waiting, and God showed him where that he is not to call anything common or unclean that God has blessed. And so, and that's what he's reiterating to them what happened. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. It's not by being circumcised, it's not by keeping the law of Moses, it's by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and His redeeming work that He did on the cross and while He was alive and in His burial and resurrection and ascension unto the Father. It is by grace you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. And Peter's preaching to them. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they, meaning the Gentiles. Then all the multitude kept silence and give audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, you reckon how long it took Paul and Barnabas to give their witness? No telling. The multitude kept silence, gave audience to Paul, to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. After they had held their peace, James answered. He's the pastor at the church at Jerusalem, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared, meaning Peter, how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. That's a very important doctrine that James slips in here. Known of God are all His works from the beginning of the world. In other words, before anything ever happened, God knew exactly what was going to happen every second of every day until time was no more. Well, forever. Known by God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Before anything ever happened, God knew exactly what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, how it was going to happen, and He's going to cause it to happen. It is going to happen. Just the way God decreed it to happen, you can count on it. It is going to happen just that way. for all those that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, it is already appointed the day when they will come to Christ. It is already appointed when the Spirit of God will birth them and make them spiritually alive. It is already appointed who's going to preach the gospel to them, whether it be a preacher, whether it be a witness, whether it be a brother or sister. It's already appointed, and it's going to happen. Exactly when, where, and how God determined it was going to be before the foundation of the world. It's a done deal. It's no different than the Lord Jesus slipping away from people that were going to try to kill him because it was not yet his time. That day was appointed. When Christ, and by whose hands it was that, and how he would go stand before Pilate and Herod, it was appointed. Everything that would happen, go read Acts 2:4 and 4:4, somewhere in there. It was appointed. It was determined by God. Who, what, when, and where. And everything is. Where's that now? I lost my place there. And known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. In other words, drinking it or eating it. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. In other words, leave them Gentile brethren alone. So says the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them. For then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Now, this Barsabas, or Barsabbas, some of them call him, and Silas were members or elders at the church of Jerusalem, and they were being sent back to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas to let the church know there that the church at Jerusalem is exactly what Paul's been telling them is what they're sending from the pastor there and from the other apostles and elders in the church, what James told them, and that is that they abstain from pollutions of idols. In other words, don't be worshiping idols. Abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication, which was a very big thing among Gentiles back then because they had no law of God that said do not commit fornication like the Ten Commandments do. On the second table. They didn't have that law. So they just like dogs, you know. It didn't bother them. It was not a sin as far as they were concerned. But it was. And so James reminds them or tells them that you don't be worshiping idols and you don't commit fornication and you don't eat things that are strangled and from blood. And they sent Barsabas and Silas with them, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders, brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. See, it wasn't the church at Jerusalem that sent out these men. They just happened to be traveling, and they started preaching this, that you had to be circumcised because they were believers, or the Bible says they were believers. They were confused. You just think you come up your whole life believing that the only way you can be saved is if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and it's according to your free will. It's hard to break that idea in your mind. You have to read it in the Word for yourself and realize that, man, I've been told a lie all my life. I've been told something that was not scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God. In other words, lest any man should boast. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Isn't that something how they change their name so quick? Barsephus is also called Judas. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, and from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare you well. So when we were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Now, Silas decided to stay around and continue to preach the gospel there. And how do you like what it said, that Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. In other words, confirmed the brethren. What does he mean by confirmed them? They exhorted the brethren with many words. You reckon how long that took? You reckon how long it took them to exhort the brethren with many words? They used to pray for, well, in public, I think they wouldn't go over 45 minutes to an hour praying in public. So reckon how long it took them to preach. Paul preached at midnight that night that the young man fell out at midnight and then continued till the morning. He preached at midnight before the guy fell out of the window and broke his neck, and then they went down and raised him up and still continued to preach till the morning. You see, God's people are hungry for the Word of God. They just like it. They want it. They want to hear the preaching of the Word. They want to hear the Word of God preached. They want the truth to be declared. They want to be taught things that they hadn't been taught before, or maybe they have been taught before. It doesn't matter. They want to hear them. But they exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. How do you confirm someone? I tell you, a good way to confirm folks is ask them, tell me about how the Lord saved you. Tell me about how the Lord saved you. How things were your soul? See if they want to talk about the Lord. See if they want to tell you about the day that they were born from above. If they know the day, exactly. The experience that they've had with the Lord Jesus Christ, if they want to tell you about that, if they want to tell you about the things in the Scripture, confirm them. That was very important in the early church. It ought to be very important to us today. But mostly today, all they want to do is get them down the aisle, make some kind of profession of faith, sign the book, and become a member of the church. They don't care about confirming them. Are you truly born from above? But they had to learn. And they had to learn these doctrines. And so Silas and Paul and Barnabas continued there in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Antioch was a booming place for Gentiles and Jews coming there and preaching the gospel. There was true revival going on. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, see how they do. Now, this is the start of their second missionary journey. They've already had their first one when they Antioch sent them out to begin with. Now, Paul tells Barnabas, let's go again. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them, that they departed asunder one from another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia confirming the churches. They were meeting. Those brethren that were converted during their first missionary journey, Paul's going back, taking Silas with him this time, because the contention or the disagreement between him and Barnabas about John Mark was so great, they wouldn't even go with each other, because Barnabas intended to take John Mark, and Paul meant that he wasn't. I can't say that Paul was wrong, because when you see what Silas did and his going with the Apostle Paul, it was like God meant for it to be that way. But Paul must have repented, because later he said, send John Mark to me. He's profitable unto me. Send him to me. Tell him to come on. So Paul was probably wrong in his summation of John Mark leaving them. He was just a kid, young guy, when he left them at Pamphylia and returned to Jerusalem, probably scared for his life. You see how they were treated. Stoned Paul to death outside of Lystra and left him for dead. Thought he was dead. Then he comes back and gets up and goes on about his business. Goes to the next city and then comes back to Lystra and goes right back up in there. And now he's going back and he's going to these people that was converted during his Barnabas' first missionary journey. And he's coming back and confirming them and going to the church where they're meeting, or their houses. Most of them met in each other's homes at that time. But he had ordained elders, or pastors, or bishops, or whatever you want to call them, ordained them to preach the gospel to them, so they had preaching going on, but Paul felt responsible for those men and women, those brethren and sisters at these churches, and he's going back to confirm them and to teach to them and to preach to them even more to the same places that he'd been before, and of course goes to other places also in this journey. We'll stop there for today. I thank the Lord for being able to preach the gospel today and to share this recollection in Acts 13, 14, 15. And pray the Lord to give you a great week.